ever. Okay, good. Take your Bibles tonight and let's turn over to Proverbs. You're in Psalms. Turn over just a couple of pages to the book of Proverbs, chapter 12 and verse 1. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 1. And tonight is a message I want to share with you on the matter of correction and taking correction and taking instruction. When we hear the words correction, we kind of go, uh-oh. That's kind of like our natural. When you say to a kid, there's correction coming, does that make them go, oh, goody, ice cream-like things? No, correction, we often think, oh, bad news, right? You know that when you hear the word correction, you ought to think, that's good. Now, oftentimes we only experience correction when we've been doing badly or when we've been doing poorly. Do you know that in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says, and I want you to follow along, Proverbs 12, verse 1, whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. I love that word, brutish. The idea of like a brute animal. Now, reproof is the word that you might wonder about in this passage, because reproof is the idea of instruction and even correction. But instruction and even correcting at times ought be seen as a friend, not as something that's hurting us. And often, because of our nature to want to do things our way, we, instead of accepting that correction, we find that it's Mr. Stubborn that comes up. And tonight I want to introduce to you Correcting Mr. Stubborn as the title tonight of the message. I know that's an odd title, but I hope that it'll help your mind remember this. Correcting Mr. Stubborn. Correcting Mr. Stubborn. And in Proverbs 12:1, we're reminded of a stubborn individual. Look at verse number 1 again. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is, what's the next word? Brutish, like a brute animal. And tonight I want to challenge you, don't be like the brutish man. Don't be like the brutish man. Heavenly Father, would you teach us tonight from your word? And I pray that every young person and adult here tonight would see clearly from your word how they should respond to instruction from your word. Oh God, please help us to avoid the difficulties and the challenges that come when we ignore instruction and when we chafe against it, when we buck against it, when we fight it. Help us, Lord, to have hearts of humility and honesty about our need for instruction and our need for guidance from your word. Lord, we'll thank you for how you'll teach us and even how you'll help us to grow more and more in the image of Christ as we accept reproof. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever met a stubborn person? Now don't look or elbow anybody, okay? Don't do that. All right. But have you ever met someone who demonstrates stubbornness? Yeah, well, any of us can be guilty of that, can't we? Now, just for a moment, know that Pastor is not picking on you, okay? If I'm looking at you, don't worry. Oh, no, Pastor knows. No. I know me, and I know you, in that we all have the capacity to towards instruction or to, yes, towards instruction. But it's a battle that you will face this week about the Word of God and how you'll respond to the Word of God. And especially for our young people as we go to camp, this message tonight, the Lord put on my heart to be as a challenge to them and to you all. So to our young people going to camp this week, you're going to hear a lot of preaching. And that's exciting for us. It's really the reason why we think that camp is so helpful, is because you're going to hear the Word of God a bunch this week. But I want to encourage you to make the most of your week of camp by having the attitude at the outset, I want to be instructed. That's really what I want more than anything, is I want to know, what does God want for me, and I want to do it. Isn't that an attitude that would be healthy for every one of us? When you come to the preaching of the Word of God, God, I want to be instructable. I want to be taught. I want to know what you want. I don't want to buck. I don't want to fight against what you want. I want to just say, okay, whatever you want to teach me, I'm good with that. But do you find that that's not how we oftentimes feel or think when we come to preaching? We sometimes come to a preaching service and it's kind of like, bless me if you can, preacher. I'm waiting to get on to the next thing. Now, you may not say that out loud, but that can be in your heart sometimes. Can I tell you tonight that it's important for you to have an instructable heart at every age of your life? I want to be instructed. I want to be taught. Last week we saw in 2 Kings 2 the good and godly and servant attitude in those servants of Elisha, the prophets. And remember that they didn't listen well when they were given instruction. And they got an attitude, we learned about last week. And did that frustrate them? Yeah, they went and looked for Elijah for 3 days and didn't find it. And then we saw as well the children, the latter part of that, from Bethel, who were destroyed and were rebellious children. Obviously, not ones who had been listening, or their parents as well, to the instruction from God and had pushed off what God wanted. And did they pay a price for that? Yes. Yes, they did. There was a price to be paid for a rebellious and foolish attitude in their life. But do you remember in the story we saw last week, the beneficiaries of that story who benefited the most in that entire passage were the men in Jericho who admitted, we've got a need. And that admitted, can you help us, man of God, Elisha? And they were told to do some very basic but odd things, and they obeyed, and God blessed. Now, you ought not miss that, everyone in here, that if I will take instruction, there's a benefit to that, that God has good things planned for me if I will listen. And so, I want you to make it a goal for this week and into the future to be teachable. And learning about Mr. Stubborn and how he's corrected, I think will be a helpful reminder to you tonight. So number one, if you're taking notes, meet Mr. Stubborn. In chapter 12 and verse 1 of Proverbs, the Bible talks about the man who is brutish. He that hateth reproof is brutish. He's like a brute animal. He's stubborn. Have you ever seen an animal that does not want to be moved? Oftentimes we think of a donkey or a mule that's stubborn like a mule. But I have to tell you, some other animals are very stubborn. Cows can be very stubborn. How many of you have ever tried to catch and bring back a cow that has gotten out? When I was a kid, a teenager, I worked detasseling corn and worked for a number of farmers. And one day, my brother and I were driving to the place we were going to work, and it was foggy, foggy, foggy. And all of a sudden, out across this road comes a cow. And we get out, and we're trying, like, it's bad news when it's foggy and there's a cow loose on the road. And so we're trying to corral this cow. But you know, cows don't like to be told what to do. They just want to go where they want to go and act like they want to act. And you can't exactly, like, push them like a small dog. They're big! And they have their own mind, and they want to push through them. And they were just going through gardens and all kinds of people's yards, and it was a mess. And you've probably dealt with animals that are like that, that are just, they're going to plow through and do what they want. That's the picture here of the individual who does not accept or that is resistant towards reproof of that instruction or correction. And reproof means correction or reasoning, rebuke as well, and even chastisement. But do you know that reproof is not something that ought always be the harsh thing? It ought to begin with the, this is what's good for you. This is the idea of what you should do. Follow this. Follow after it. Now, when someone does not love instruction, when someone says, I don't want instruction, I want to go my own way, they're going to be characterized by things that hurt themselves and hurt others. Mr. Stubborn, if you want to call him that, Mr. Stubborn doesn't realize all the things that he's hurting as he goes through life doing what he wants to do. In fact, I heard the story one time of Bill Rice that started the Bill Rice Ranch. His brothers and he grew up in Texas. And one time they were working with cows and moving them through something called de-ticking. How many of you have ever heard of this? They'd have a like a chute and a kind of a vat that the cows would be brought into, and they'd go down into, and it would have chemicals on it, clean out the ticks, and then the cow would come up the other side. And they'd have these cows lined up in the chute to go into this. How many of you have ever seen this before? Some of you have. Okay. Well, one of the cows in this chute somehow or another got angry and got upset and got turned around. So you've got cows facing this way and one cow that's facing this way that doesn't want to be in the right direction. And they're narrow chutes, so it's not an easy thing to turn around. And the cow is facing this way, and one of Bill Rice's brothers, I think it was George, decided to do something to help this cow get on through. there's the vat here, and there's a cow, and there's a cow on the other side, the one facing this way, the one facing the vat. So you know what he did? He reached through, and he tied their tails together. And he thought, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to have this cow drag that one through. And so he got a goad, and he proked the front cow, and that cow jumped in and came up the other side, wagging his tail and the tail of the other cow. It did not go well for the cow that was stubborn. Now, he got in trouble, as you can well imagine, for doing such a stunt. George was just a kid. But don't tie cow's tails together and expect he'll drag him through. It didn't work too well. But that's a picture of the kind of stubbornness that exists in one who does not take reproof. Mr. Stubborn is resistant. There's a pushback instead of a willingness. You know, it's a beautiful thing when someone says, I want to know what God wants. One of the big joys of the past couple of years has been working with young Christians who say, I just want to know what God wants to do, and I want to do it. I want to know what does God's Word say, and I want to follow it. You know, that kind of hunger ought to be one that we continue to have, Christian. It ought never grow old on us. But I want to know what God wants, and I want to keep doing it. I want to know that. And by the way, parents, if that's your hunger, your kids will pick up on that. You want kids that hunger to learn? Be one who continues to learn. Be one that says, I need to learn more. I can grow. I don't know everything. You know, one of the best things we can say to our kids, parents, I don't know everything. Sometimes we act like we do, don't we? We ought to be very humble about this fact that we can still learn. Do you know that? And young people, you need to know that if you will have the attitude of, I need to still learn more. I need to learn. I want to know. You won't be like Mr. Stubborn. Mr. Stubborn needs to be prodded and poked along. You know what they used to move cows? In Bible times, they would have had a long stick with a point on the end of it. What do they use today? You can buy a cattle prod, right? You can go to Tractor Supply Company over here, and you can buy a 10,000-volt shocking thing that'll move cows. Yeah, it works. Now, would you like to be moved through life that way? You know, there are individuals in our day, people who don't take instruction, who don't take instruction, who don't take instruction, who don't take instruction. And how do the police have to deal with those people oftentimes? Not 10,000 volts, but 50,000 volts and a taser. Why? Because they won't listen. Isn't it a sad thing that there are people that just won't listen? Our culture is filled with that, isn't it though? People that are resistant. I don't want to know. I don't want to do. I don't want to do. I don't want to do. And I'm going to do my own thing. Can I tell you that Mr. Stubborn is one that is filled with an attitude that will not listen? Hatred of reproof is like being a stubborn beast. It has to be prodded along. And our culture exalts such stubbornness. You know that the culture does not encourage a spirit of humility and a spirit of teachability? Our culture teaches an attitude of be yourself. Find yourself. Do what you want to do. You know what that's all about? Pride. In fact, this month and the exaltation of self and desires of self, you know what that really reflects? It reflects a pride of the heart that won't be instructed by what God already has said. Has God given instruction about what He has created, male and female? Yes, He has. Has He given instruction about what His plan was for creating male and female? Yes, He has. There ought to be no confusion about that. But if there's a resistance of what God's Word says and instruction from it, guess what will prop up? Pride. And pride against many areas of which God has dealt with in His Word. Pride comes up. Mr. Stubborn has quite a reputation for being resistant to instruction. But I want you to know this, the second thing. Where is Mr. Stubborn headed? Look at Proverbs chapter 10, verse 17. The man who doesn't take reproof, the man that bucks against reproof or instruction, where is he heading? Look at chapter 10 of Proverbs and verse 17. Chapter 10 of Proverbs and verse 17 says, he is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, that values it, that longs for it, that protects it. But he that refuseth reproof erreth. And the idea of the word erreth is to wander, or to go astray, to be deceived, to be straying. There's nothing good from that. The person that is in the way of life loves instruction. The person that is refusing reproof, that refuses to take correction, he's going to be wandering over here and wandering over here and never getting into the place that is intended for him. Can I tell you that Mr. Stubborn is constantly lost? He's constantly going and trying to find something but never finding it. Kind of reminds me of the prodigal son. You think, well, he's got everything he wants. He's got money. He's got freedom. And that's going to make him happy. And what does he go do? He goes out and he goes and enjoys this and goes and enjoys this and goes and enjoys this. And very soon, what does he have? Nothing. Why does he end up with nothing? Because he's not wanted to listen. He's not regarded instruction from his father. He's wanted to go out and do his own thing. Can I tell you, that's a dangerous mindset to have for kids. It's a dangerous mindset to have as adults, too. I want to just go do my own thing. I want to do what I want to do. Proverbs 5:12. Look back at Proverbs 5:12, and we see another place in which he's heading. In Proverbs 5, of course, you have warnings to a son regarding a strange woman and the temptations of one who would want to bring about moral destruction in the life of a young person. And by the way, that kind of moral destruction is something that we ought to recognize as adults. Is still something for us to be aware of. Notice the characteristic of the fool in verses 12 through 13, who says and say, "How have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me." You know what? On the other side of that kind of destructed life, there's a regret. He will discover regret. Where's Mr. Stubborn heading? Well, he's heading for a life of regrets. Now, look up here, everyone. You will make mistakes, but you don't need to continue to make mistakes that you'll regret. You don't need to continue in the path of regret. You can look back and say, yeah, that was a wrong choice. Now I need to make right choices. But do you know that the life that is characterized by, I don't want to hear instruction, I don't want to hear instruction, will keep finding regret. We'll keep finding, why did I do this? Why did I go down this path? It was because I would not listen to instruction, to those reproofs. His heart despised reproof. Now, when you hear the word reproof, do you go, yes, I want to be told when I'm wrong? Or do you go, that's no fun? You know, you have a choice about your attitude towards correction. When you know someone is coming to you and pointing out something that's wrong, do you see very quickly, yeah, I want to change that. I need to. Or do you buck at that? Do you get resistant? Beware of stubbornness regarding reproof or correction. Look at Proverbs 13, verse 18. Where is Mr. Stubborn heading? Well, he's heading for error or being led astray. He's heading for regrets. And chapter 13, verse 18, the Bible says in Proverbs 13, 18, "Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored." What can one expect who refuses instruction? According to Proverbs 13, 18, poverty and shame. Poverty and shame. Now, it doesn't mean if I listen to instruction, I'm going to get wealthy and rich. Well, in many regards, you are setting yourself up for intended failure and poverty and shame if you will not listen to instruction. You can know blessing when you will listen to instruction. And by the way, every one of you young people can make decisions, even while you're kids, about how you're going to utilize funds. Do we live in a culture in America that is incredibly blessed? Exceedingly, exceedingly. Can we become very materialistic even as young people? Yeah, you can. Can I challenge you young people to think early on about how you're going to use money? Do you think the Word of God gives instruction about how you should use the things that you've been provided? It does. The Word of God gives clear direction. Now, you and I ought to say, okay, God, I want to know what your way is for me to use funds, for me to use money, how ought I to think? Because if I don't continually filter it through, I want to know what God says in His Word. And I want to listen to others who I see doing well with the things that God has provided them. Can I learn from those that are doing well with things that God has provided? Of course. You ought to learn from them. You ought to say, what does the Bible teach about this? And how have you put it into practice in your life? That would be incredibly helpful for you young people and for us as adults to say, I want to learn of others who are doing well. If you have kids, can I encourage you? Ask questions of those who have children who are doing well. Would there not be great help to seeing someone that has children that are doing well and maybe even out of the house and doing well? And you say, wow, how did you do this with this situation? Can you give me some insight? You know what that is? That's teachable. That's a love for instruction. That's not saying, I'm a failure and I need help. No, that's just saying, I need to do better. And I can do better. And every one of us ought to recognize that if there is a desire for instruction, and if I will regard reproof, that means I welcome it. I don't push it away. Then I can head in the right direction. The one who refuses instruction, he will be in lack. He will have emptiness in his pursuits. Can I ask you a question? Who's giving instruction to your life right now? Who's giving instruction into your life right now? Not just for you kids, but all of us. Who's informing the way that you make decisions right now? Are you listening to anyone? Or do you say, no, I just figured it all out on my own. I've got a pretty good way of figuring things out. I just figured it out on my own. You know that you ought daily come to the Word of God and say, God, teach me today how to think and operate in a way that would please you. Do you know that you'll find in the Word of God answers to how you ought to think and act in every aspect of life when you come to the Word of God with that mindset and that attitude? I want to know today what you think about, and then whatever the issue of the day is, whatever the question of the day is, God, I want to know what your mind is on every matter of my life. We need instruction in our life. Wrong turns, regrets, financial impacts are all things that you will know if you follow the path of Mr. Stubborn. Mr. Stubborn is heading somewhere, and you can avoid it. I like Google Maps on my phone that tell me what's up ahead. I don't know if many of you use maps that are on smart things, smart devices, but there have been many times there have been road closures or construction or something, and the map will redirect me in a place, in a way that will save me, and it'll say, we'll save you 30 minutes if you'll exit the highway right here and take you a different route around a problem or something. Well, that's a help. Why? Because something is telling you what's up ahead. Now, can I tell you? The Bible gives us a clear picture of what's up ahead. I'm really grateful that you don't go through life and I don't go through life without an instruction manual, without God who has seen all the way ahead in your life and given you exactly what you need to know how to avoid troubles. And there's not one teenager or adult or child in here tonight that needs to go through the kinds of troubles that Proverbs speaks of if they will accept instruction. The stubborn man finds trouble and is heading towards it. Now, here's the third thing. Not only where is the Mr. Stubborn heading, and who is Mr. Stubborn, as we've seen, but number three, can Mr. Stubborn change? Can Mr. Stubborn change? Yes! Yes. You know, the Word of God is not given to us to just make us feel like, oh, there's no hope. No, it's given to make the point, here's the way that you ought to go. In fact, that verse that we've already read, He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction. Well, let's go there. Let's follow that. That's what your heart ought to be constantly longing for. I want to know the right way. I want to follow in that. Look with me in Proverbs 15, verse 32. Accepting correction equals understanding. When you accept correction, you find understanding. In Proverbs 15, verse 32, look at what the Bible says in Proverbs 15, verse 32. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. He that regardeth, he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. He that heareth reproof getteth understanding. If I'm going to hear correction, guess what I will get as a result? I'll understand things. In our pride, we understand nothing. Can I say that again? In your pride, you understand nothing. In our self-sufficient mindset, we see no need for hearing reproof. I don't need that. I'm good. Have you ever felt like saying that when someone wants to give help? I don't need to hear that. I'm good. I'm okay. I'm not like so-and-so. Humility is good for us. Humility is good for us. Humility is when I admit I do need help. I don't know everything. I want to know what God wants in that area. You know, we live in a busy world that doesn't leave much room for humility. There's the next thing. I can't wait for this. And I is a big part of that. Have you ever caught that? I have this plan. I want to get this done. I want to do this. And you know what? Humility demands my saying, if my plan doesn't happen, I'm okay if God wants to teach me something else. I need direction from Him. I'm not directing everything in my life. I'm not in control. I want to know what He wants. Before honor is humility, what's the expected result that one can find? Instead of Mr. Stubborn, can I encourage you to consider Mr. Turning, Mr. Adjustment? You can call him either one of those. Mr. Adjustment, Mr. Turning. Look back in Proverbs 1:23. Can Mr. Stubborn change? Yes. But he needs to change his name from the brutish guy, the stubborn guy, to the turning one, the adjusting one. Look back at Proverbs 1, verse 23. Proverbs 1, verse 23 says, "Turn you at my reproof." Look back at verse 20. "Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Wisdom says, Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, I will make known my words unto you." Wisdom calls for correction, for turning, for adjustments. You know what adjustments demand? An admission that we're not right. You can't have an adjustment if you're saying, I'm not wrong. You're going to keep going the way that you're going, the way that you want to go there. Have I ever told you guys the story of the time I took the wrong turn? I may have told you this before, but we used to travel a lot. And one time, for some reason, I wasn't with Lindsay, which is a dangerous thing for me to drive alone, apparently. So I was driving on the interstate, and in Illinois, I-57 and I-24 at the bottom of the state kind of split. And I was driving along, and I needed to get onto I-24. And I remember getting off on the interchange, and I was listening to preaching or something, and I was just driving along, happy as can be, and I'm driving along. And I had gotten on the part, and I'm driving and driving and driving, and I see a bridge coming up in the future. And the bridge is the bridge that I know I've gone over many times, the bridge to Paducah, right across the river, the Cumberland River, I think it is. Maybe it's the Ohio, I don't know. But we're coming across the river, yeah, the Ohio. And I get onto the bridge, and I'm halfway across, and it says, "Welcome to Missouri." What? No. You ever had that moment of denial, like, there's no way I just did that. I am not where that just said I am. No, that's not possible. You know, like, I think I crossed the Mississippi River or something. And I thought, no, that's... You know, that denial just kept for the rest of the way across the bridge. I am not on the wrong highway. Now, doesn't that give you comfort, parents? I'm taking your kids to camp tomorrow. Well, let me give you some encouragement. Guess what happened when I got across onto the other side? I pulled off, And this was before I had GPS or any of these things. This was back in the map era. I pull out my map. Wow, it's been so long since I had a map in the car. And I pull out the map and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's where I am. I had gone for miles and miles and miles the wrong direction and crossed into the other state and then had to admit I made the wrong choice. Now, I had two choices. I could admit, yes, I need to make the right choice and figure out how to get back over to Paducah, or I could say, I am not wrong. I am in Kentucky, even though I'm in Missouri. Denial would not help me one bit, would it? And I wanted to get home. Denial would not help me get to the destination I needed to get to. What I needed to do was be honest and admit I need to turn and go that way a lot. Do you need to turn? You know, Mr. Stubborn doesn't like to turn at all. Mr. Stubborn says, no, this is what I'm going to do. This is the path I've decided, and I am going to go this way. Get out of my way. He may not say it that way. That can be the heart. That can be the heart that says, I'm just going to go the way I want to go, and the way I want to do it is the way I want to do it. You better watch out. Can I encourage you to follow the pattern of Proverbs chapter 1 in verse 23? Wisdom cries out, turn you at my reproof. You know what? See the way that you're going isn't correct. And turn. Make an adjustment. Wisdom calls for correction and promises a refreshing benefit. What is the benefit of verse number 23? I'll pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Is there understanding when we follow reproof? When we follow correction? Yes. There is great blessing in that. And I would pray that tonight as you consider what's coming up in the week ahead, that your desire will be, I want to follow the path of instruction. And if the Word of God points out something and the Holy Spirit of God points out some area, then I need some correction in. And I haven't been very specific tonight about anything other than being stubborn. And you may well know what area you're stubborn in that you've known you need to change. There may be a number of areas that you're just a bit stubborn in, and you know it's not what you should be doing or how you should be operating. But there's a need for us to say, I'm going to listen to the way of wisdom. I'm going to listen to the reproof, the correction, and I want to go the right direction. I want to go in the way that God desires. God will honor that. God honors our humility in turning to Him and listening to what His Word says. I've got a choice. I can be Mr. Stubborn, or I can be Mr. Adjustment, or Mr. Turn, whatever you want to call it. But you're going to make choices this week that'll be either Mr. Stubborn, the brutish, like a cow type of guy, or the humble, honest, Mr. Adjustment, Mr. Turn. And I want to encourage our young people, as you go to camp this week and you hear the Word of God preached, let your heart say, as the Word of God points out things that may need to be addressed, you know what? I want to go and do what God wants. I want to follow Him. At the camp, they'll have invitations that are similar to what we have here, but different in this regard. They'll invite the campers to come if there's a decision, specific decision that they've made in that preaching service, and pray with a counselor, men with men and girls with ladies. And my wife and I will be there and praying with our young people if they would like to pray with us, or there's camp counselors that will be able to pray with them and just encourage them about those decisions that they make. Can I tell you that you ought to look forward to that, young people? Look forward to the opportunity of just praying with someone and being encouraged about making right path decisions, right choices. Sometimes there's areas of change that need to be made. And you can be encouraged, even church family, when you make decisions in that way. I am always thrilled when Christians come to me and say, Pastor, God pointed out an area I needed to make some changes in. I never think, oh, well, I've been wondering when that... No. And I don't say, oh, no, I realize that's what all of us need to do. Can I encourage you, church? Set a pattern of that kind of lifestyle with the rest of our church family and our young people. An attitude that says, you know what? The Lord's made some points in my life where He needed to change some things. sometimes it isn't the kind of thing we talk about with young people, but we can. Not going into the gory details of the sins that we've given up or that we've changed direction from, but just the fact that God has been teaching me that I needed to change things, and the greatest choices in my life have been when I have yielded to what His instructions were. I have to tell you that that starts with salvation. The greatest position of turning that takes place towards the instruction. The Word of God points out that I am a sinner and that I need a Savior. And there is no help for me apart from my humbling and being honest with the fact that I am a sinner who needs the Savior. Turning at my reproof. You know, the Word of God points out that we are sinners. That's correcting. That's not fun to find out, but it's the truth. And unless you come to agreement with the fact that you are a sinner who needs a Savior in Jesus Christ, there's no help unless you humble yourself and admit He's the one who died for me. I can trust Him. I can be stubborn to that, or I can be honest. You know, there are many in this room tonight who have been honest about their position before God and their sin and recognized that Jesus died on the cross for them and said, His way is the right way. His way is the only way. Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin, and I'm going to trust what Jesus did for me. That's the place that every one of us in here can be. You can put your trust in Jesus if you haven't yet. Whether you're a young person or an adult, let me just remind you, Jesus Christ died on the cross so that you could be free from sin and sin's penalty. And those of us who have put our faith in Christ ought to always look back to that as the remembrance of what He has done so that we don't have to keep doing things that are hard, that are frustrating, that bring about defeats, and that are not necessary because He has given us the victory in His Son, Jesus Christ. Next week we'll look at parenting in light of Mr. Stubborn. And I'm excited about this because every one of us who are parents need to be reminded about how the Bible teaches us to deal with reproof in the home. Now, don't think, oh, pastor thinks I need to change on this. No, we all need refreshers on this. And even for those of you that don't have kids yet, would you like to know how to have children that turn out well? I've been encouraged by some of the young men coming to play basketball who've been asking me questions about their future, and they don't even have kids yet. Wouldn't that be a great way to start, is knowing what the Bible says about the family and the home and what correction's all about, rather than waiting until, oh, this isn't working, what do I do? Start right, or where you are, continue right. But the Word of God addresses that, and we'll look at that next week in Proverbs 29, and I'll look forward to sharing that with you.